Welcome to today's Strategic Housing Podcast, where our goals are to connect people, share innovative ideas, and collaborate with partners on affordable housing opportunities and replicable models that strengthen our communities in Kentucky and across the nation. My name is Edwin King, the Executive Director of Kentucky Housing Corporation. Today's podcast features a very special guest, Sam Glenn, who is an award-winning motivational speaker, storyteller, author, and performance artist who will be our opening keynote speaker during the 2018 Kentucky Affordable Housing Conference, The Power of Housing is Now, on Tuesday and Wednesday, August 21st and 22nd in Lexington, Kentucky. Sam is the author of Attitude Changes Everything, The Magic of Enthusiasm, Not All Superheroes Wear Capes, Be Your Own Real-Life Superhero, sharing core values that empower everyday people to be extraordinary in life and work, and many others. As a speaker, he delivers topics on managing change, motivation, leadership, customer service, teamwork, workplace wellness, and attitude, among other topics that are highly motivational and very relevant in today's world and changing markets. Welcome to our podcast, Sam.
It's good to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thanks for being a guest with me today and sharing your contagious enthusiasm with our audience. Sam, you're known for being the attitude guy with a positive message about how attitude changes everything. How did you find your inspiration using this message as your platform?
Well, I think it all stems from, at one time, being a very toxic, negative person. And I had a very low appraisal of the subject of attitude. I mean, we've all heard attitude speeches. We hear them when we're growing up. You need to change your attitude. But I really never explored it. I never learned about it until I met a guy by the name of Zig Ziglar. And I met Mr. Ziglar when I knocked him over at a buffet accidentally. I didn't know who he was. I just know that I was reaching for the bacon and I bumped right into him and knocked him over. And from that point on, he became a good friend, a good mentor, and a coach. And he really helped me with my attitude because everything follows our attitude. Our actions, our skills, our gifts, our talents, experiences, they all follow our attitude. And so he really taught me that every day is about choosing an attitude that works for you. And so I kind of that became my platform for learning about attitude and just kind of, working with my own attitude. So it wasn't anything I was reading from books. It was real life experiences. So I was trying to learn to improve my attitude. And I found that when I did, my business changed, my life got better, my relationships improved. So, and when you start to see some results, you're like, I think we got something here. So that's really the core of what happened. I started to see some results when my attitude changed, and then I started to put a lot of attention towards this whole thing regarding attitude.
That's great. Well, I'm going to quote you here. An awesome day or an average day is determined by our attitude every day. So how did you discover your philosophy there?
Well, that is what I call a very cheesy quote. My wife, she makes fun of my quotes, but I come up with a lot of different quotes. Like, our attitude is either in the way or making a way. But I try to come up with quotes that people will remember and retain. And so I've learned that the cheesier it is, the more people will remember it, like a classic movie or a classic funny movie. But when you really think about it, the difference between having an average day or an awesome day really does reside in our attitude. As I mentioned earlier, everything follows our attitude, and we have to put our attitude to choice and not leave it to chance. And that's what some people do. Psychologists say if you leave your attitude to chance, it becomes very vulnerable. So your attitude can actually morph into whatever your experience is starting your day. So if somebody cuts you off on your way to work, you might show up to work in a very bad mood. And so choosing an attitude that works for you and choosing that attitude that works for you both personally and professionally is acknowledging, hey, today I need to have a good attitude. Today I need to be resilient. I need to be positive. I need to understand that my attitude affects my relationships. And I often tell people that the fastest way to put your attitude in a good place is to reflect on what you're most grateful for, the things that you love. And I've learned that when you focus on the things that you love and the things that you're grateful for, your minor negatives have no power in the presence of your major positives. So that's kind of how I came up with that platform.
That's great. What great advice. So as providers of affordable housing, like many of our listeners, our mission is to invest in safe, quality, affordable housing. Providing solutions can be quite challenging because, you know, the market or housing needs often change, and these efforts can dampen enthusiasm in many cases on many days. In your book, The Magic of Enthusiasm, you talk about having a purpose, and that enthusiasm comes to life when we connect with our why. Tell us more about the importance of connecting with your why to have enthusiasm and be successful.
Well, I think that we lose enthusiasm in the course of a day when we face a couple elements. Have you ever noticed that when you're stressed, tired, and hungry, you're most apt to go to the dark side? I've seen some of the nicest people who are just super sweet, but when they get hangry, watch out. So I've learned that when those things happen, when our energy level falls, our enthusiasm goes with it. And so that's why it's so important to take care of yourself. You've got to take care of yourself throughout the day. And by doing that, you're going to maintain a higher level of enthusiasm. Now, having a positive attitude, having enthusiasm, it doesn't stop the junk from happening, but it does give you that energy to deal with what life or with what work is giving you in a more positive, creative, and resilient way. And I think that when you think about the purpose of why you do what you do, it should inspire you. It should give you purpose. And we all have our own unique purpose. If you're going to work, you got to really think about, are you just going there for a paycheck? Because that's not really inspiring. But if you think about, this is an opportunity to provide for my family, to pay for braces, to save for my future. Those are little purposes that can ignite your enthusiasm, because in the absence of enthusiasm, that's when things go bad. That's when our attitudes go sour. That's when the picture gets bleak. That's when negativity begins to spread. So I think finding ways to maintain enthusiasm is so important.
Well, that's great. Well, I listed off a long list of books that you had written. How many books actually have you written to date?
I've written 25 books.
Wow.
And many of them have been bestsellers at my mom's garage sales. So, hey, they're not all winners, but the books are really just a great way to bound on, I call them the at-home version of my speeches. But many of the books that I've written are retired. My philosophies have evolved a little bit, my principles and what I'm doing and where I'm going. And so I really try to customize my books to my readers and the people that I'm speaking to. So some of them have been great books for me, and I'm actually working on a new book right now.
Wow. Can you share with us the title of that?
Absolutely not. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, the title is called Share Your Popcorn, and it's based off an experience that I had many years ago. And I don't want to get into it because I'm definitely going to share this at the conference. But the definition of sharing your popcorn is giving your best and sharing the best of who you are. And so it's just really, if you factor it out a little bit, it's about personal leadership. And we're all involved in leadership every day. If you woke up, you are in leadership. You lead yourself by the choices you make every day. So I share 12 popcorn principles on how to make a positive impact with the best of who you are and giving your best. So I'm really excited. It's a good book. I'm almost done. And it's one of those books that you look at and you think, I don't know if I can top this. So I'm really excited about it.
Well, it's clear you have a passion for leadership. Why do you have such the passion?
Well, I would say that when you experience situations where there's a lack of leadership, it affects you. You begin to think and look at the value of having leadership. And I know from my past experience growing up, I never saw my parents come home happy from work, feeling fulfilled. I never saw them leave excited or ready to go. they kind of worked for organizations that didn't care about their people and lacked the kind of leadership that cared about their people. And that's the thing, is there's so many organizations out there who don't get it. They hire people, they expect them to care, but yet they don't care for those that they expect and require to care. So they wonder why things crumble. And the great organizations, the great leaderships, they understand that, hey, whatever is going on in the workplace, people are going to take that home. So if a parent, research has shown that if a parent comes home from a workplace where it's toxic, they're going to bring that toxic vibe into the household, and it can affect their children. Their children are more susceptible to depression, becoming a bully, or rebelling, and just having a list of issues, all based on that vibe that parents bring home from the workplace. And so I think my goal is to help leaders create a better work environment where people feel safe, empowered, a place where they can grow, a place that they can go home and feel a sense of fulfillment. And I've had people tell me all the time, well, how do we find these companies? And it's not hard. All you have to do is listen, because happy employees don't badmouth their company. They're always sharing about how great their company is and what a great place it is to work. And so over the years, I've had a chance to work with many organizations that have been listed as some of the best places to work. And I've learned that the leaders who care the most are the ones that make the biggest impact. So it's about inspiring not just leadership, but inspiring people to care more. And that's kind of my personal mission, just growing up with my parents. And it kind of affects you when you see them leave in the morning and you know that, hey, they don't really enjoy it and they're not going to somewhere that's going to empower them and or a positive place. So I think as an adult now, I can be a real life superhero and help people find more meaning and more fulfillment and purpose in their work.
Right. Well, to switch directions just a little bit, on a more personal side, and I read a little bit about you. I read that you're a painter. How long have you been painting artistically?
Well, I think that word artistically is a stretch. So I would say if abstractly was the word. I'm a self-taught artist. I love to paint, and I like to paint pictures that are meaningful to me, that have a unique message. And it's kind of funny, because I'll ask the audiences that I speak to, have you ever seen a speed painter? The people that throw paint on a canvas, flip it around, and it's somebody famous. And they're all, yeah, and they're all excited because they see the canvas behind me. And then I kind of shoot a hole in the boat and I tell them, well, that's not me. And they kind of laugh and chuckle at that. But my style of performance painting is, I'm kind of a cross between Bob Ross, you know, the guy on TV who's always talking about happy clouds. You know, he's very, it's very hypnotizing, but in a good way. I'm kind of a mixture of Bob Ross and a really slow jogger. So I'm not going to set any records, but we're going to feel good getting there. And I like to allow my audience to enjoy the unfolding of the painting. And I usually play a couple songs while I paint it. And then at the end, you've got a really nice painting that you can auction off or somebody gets to take home, which is really cool. But I'm probably in my 20th year just painting, and I'm still learning. Every day, art is a classroom. It's just, you're learning new styles, new things. And there's never enough time to do everything you want when it comes to art. You just want to try everything, but it's a process.
Well, that's certainly a little twist on what speakers usually do. What made you decide to include painting in your presentations?
Well, I was at a camp, a sports camp, probably over 20 years ago. My brother and I, we were there. And every night at this camp, they had a motivational speaker or somebody get up and talk about character or something of that nature. And one of the nights, I think it was a Wednesday night, they had this guy get up. He was 89 years old. When they said he was 89 years old, I thought, oh, great, they're going to have Yoda come speak to us. And this guy comes out and he looks identical to the Monopoly guy from the game Monopoly. And all he said was, if you're going to live your life, you got to live it with courage. And that's all he said. He was brief and to the point, and he began to do a chalk drawing. And that's been my medium for years, is chalk drawings. And he would do this chalk drawing set to some really cool music. And then he did this light show that kind of brought the picture to life. And it was just so amazing. And looking around the room and seeing everybody so captivated with this visual presentation, I thought, man, that's so cool. I want to do that. This guy, his name was Bill Bill Leach, and he had performed that for several of our past presidents at banquets, most of all the NFL football teams. But he was such a humble guy. He loved setting up his easel and just painting for the ladies in the cafeteria kitchen, just something special, just to inspire them. That's how humble he was. When I saw that visual presentation, I just fell in love with it. And it was just one of those things that it wasn't 2 minutes and over. And I think speed painters are great, but it was actually relaxing. It was just so enjoyable, and it allowed you time to reflect, to breathe, to think. And I thought, man, that's a great way to create retention. I'm a big believer that when you deliver information, you want to create retention with it. You want it to stick. So I thought that'd be a cool thing to incorporate in my program.
So Sam, you're going to be speaking to some of our partners in affordable housing. There's going to be lenders there, developers, nonprofits there, our partners that we work with on a daily basis. I'm sure you encounter a broad array of different audiences across your speaking career. Do you find your message is accepted the same with each type of audience?
Well, the core of my message is attitude. And I believe attitude plays a role. I've spoken to almost every industry you can imagine. And attitude plays a role in all of our lives and in many aspects of our life. And so what I try to do as a presenter is customize my message based on the group, and I'll research what they're going through, what they've had in the past, and what the theme is and what the focus is, and customize a message that the client will love and that people will experience and feel good about and get something that they can apply Monday morning, and something that maybe if there's a parent there, they want to share with their kids or share with their staff. So it'll definitely be a customized message for your group. But the one thing it all ties back into is it all starts with attitude.
Right, right. So from your 20-year career, what has been the most meaningful keynote speech that you've made thus far?
Well, I can think of a couple, but I think the one that stands out the most, the one that I'll never forget, a couple years ago, I think a lot of people remember when the economy really was going through a tough time. I mean, yeah, it affected a lot of people. And I was in, Alabama, and I had just finished a speech, and I had to be in Detroit the next morning. However, I missed my flight because there was an accident on the highway, and I didn't get to the airport in time. And we tried to check other airports, other flight options, and there was nothing to get me to Detroit in the morning. And the reason I wanted to get to this particular speech was it was a room of maybe about 200 to 280 people, and every single one of them was about to lose their job within the week. And every one of them knew that. And the person who hired me felt like she said she struggled to get me there because the people above her felt like, what's the point? They're going to be gone. Why share something inspirational or awesome? And she says, I don't think like them. I have a sense of empathy for people. I care about them. And these are people with kids, families, bills, and they're facing a crossroads. And what they need is something to give them the right perspective, the right attitude, so that when they leave here empowered, and they leave here feeling a sense of value that they do have something to offer. And so I really wanted to get to that speech. And so I made a decision. I pulled into a gas station, got me a couple Red Bulls, some beef jerky, and filled up the gas tank. And I drove all night, and I had about maybe 30 minutes to spare before my talk. And it was one of the best speeches I ever gave. When I walked in, you could feel the vibe. It was negative. People seemed sad. It seemed toxic. But when it was over, there was the line was around the corner. People just coming up to say, thank you. I needed that. And here's my story. And to me, that credit doesn't belong to me. It belongs to that person who took a risk, who trusted her gut instinct and had that sense of empathy, that attitude for those people to bring me in to share something positive with them. And I just love that. That is, I'll never forget that.
Sam, this has been great. Thank you again for your time with us today and for sharing your positive energy and enthusiasm, giving us all a glimpse of what we'll experience with you during the housing conference in a couple of months.
I'm excited. Thank you, Edwin.
To our audience, you can learn more about Sam Glenn by visiting his website at www.samglenn, that's with two N's, .com, and then join us for the upcoming 2018 Kentucky Affordable Housing Conference on Tuesday and Wednesday, August 21st and 22nd at the Lexington Convention Center in Lexington, Kentucky. The theme, again, is The Power of Housing is Now. This year's housing conference includes three terrific keynote speakers. Sam Glenn, who joined us today, and we'll also hear from Kara Brookins, author of Rise, How a House Built a Family, and Jacob Tammy, a former University of Kentucky football player, NFL player for the Indianapolis Colts, Denver Broncos, and Atlanta Falcons, who serves as an advocate of homes for wounded U.S. veterans. We will also have very informative sessions and plenty of time for networking. Visit Kentucky Housing Corporation's website for more information about the housing conference and to register at www.kyhousing.org. Thank you again for connecting with us today and listening to this podcast. You're welcome to join the conversation by leaving comments, and please share today's podcast in your social media streams to help us broaden our conversation. Follow us on social media. Until next time, thank you.